if they decide they want to get into this further, if they're on our page and they see all the funds, they read through them. We actually, to really encourage diversification, have an invest in all button. So you can just, and usually that's at a lower minimum amount. So if you want to divide your money equally across those four funds, invest in all four, then you're in that round.
Hi, this is Garrett Sutton, and you're listening to the Average Joe Finances Podcast.
Welcome to the Average Joe Finances Podcast. Are you trying to get out of debt, invest, or just not sure where to start? Then this is the place for you. We discuss different ways to get out of the rat race and build your wealth. Join us on this wild ride to financial freedom.
Hey, welcome back to the Average Joe Finances Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Cavagione, and today's guest is Kyle Kudaresky. So Kyle, thank you so much for joining me today. How'd I do on your name?
Great on the name. Thanks, Mike.
Awesome.
And yeah, excited to be here and talk to you.
Awesome. Hey, again, thank you so much for joining me. I want to start this off the same way I start every podcast episode, and we want to know more about you. So if you could share a little bit about yourself, share your story. Who is Kyle Kudaresky?
Yeah. Thanks, Mike. Like you said, my name's Kyle. I live on the East Coast of the United States, grew up in Tennessee. I like to say I'm an engineer that's turned into an investor. I went to school for undergrad and whatnot in engineering and got into a corporate America role, saved up some money, got more interested in investing and passive income, that type of thing. And we can get into all of that, of course, but that's what brings me here today. Several different types of investment classes and interests. And then outside of that, I just have a big love for life. I love anything that keeps me active, snowboarding, triathlons, traveling, just always staying active. And that's a little bit about me.
Awesome. Short, sweet, and to the point. This is Kyle. So now I appreciate that. So you grew up in Tennessee, right? And now where are you at now?
Yeah, I'm near Savannah, Georgia, here on the East Coast.
Okay, so you've moved further east.
Exactly.
And what was the reason for that?
Yeah. So I went to school at University of Tennessee in Knoxville, go Vols. Okay. And just coming out of engineering school, went to the job fair, interviewed at several different places, and then had a pretty solid offer down here out of school to get me started on the right foot and good training opportunity and all that. And so I haven't moved since. I've traveled a lot since, but I like to do long-term kind of slow travel. But this is home. Yeah, home for me.
Okay, right on. All right, Kyle. Now, you said you went to school to be an engineer, right? And you got interested in money and passive income. What was it that stuck out to you specifically that made you think about passive income?
Yeah, so I can nail it down pretty precisely, actually. So after saving up a bit of money outside of school, there's a lot of tourism in this area, and prices of real estate continue to rise, I think, throughout the whole country, but it was really evident down here. And so saved up some money for a down payment on my house. Was able to purchase this place, but it wiped out a lot of savings. And we have a small mother-in-law suite up above the garage. And in order to save or to boost savings back up, I just threw that on Airbnb, really in a half effort, just to try to see how it went. And it stayed booked nonstop over and over. And so I just followed the market trend. And I knew that I wanted to, again, not be stuck to 9 to 5 forever. And so got into some real estate investing, vacation rental real estate, and then I just became a complete nerd on investing in general.
Nice. Actually, let's get into you becoming a complete nerd on investing, right? Because surprisingly, I know everybody that's listening to this right now just heard Kyle mention how he got into real estate, right? But that's not what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about something else, right? That started your path, right, on getting into finding different ways to make money and passive income. And then you found something else, right? And it involved online businesses and websites, right? So can we talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, that's exactly it. So I'd like to say a bit of a form of digital real estate. So at the time that I was interested in purchasing, like I said, a vacation rental or some other type of real estate to start building my passive income machine or a side hustle, I learned about the upside that online businesses can have and Empire Flippers in particular. And I didn't end up purchasing a site through them or through anyone else, but I just really went far down that rabbit hole. And I started to keep an eye on the online business industry, learning about Fulfilled by Amazon, FBA sites, content sites, Kindle sites, all the different kinds that we can talk about. And I just kept an eye on the industry. And after I decided to leave my previous job or started thinking about it, the more I learned about this industry, I thought that would be the one I wanted to go into next. And so that was a couple of years ago now. And bringing a way for others to passively invest in those websites is really my goal and our whole team's goal.
Yeah, awesome. So what was it as you were learning about this industry that attracted you to stick with it?
Yeah, so there's a lot of, it's definitely multifaceted, but one of them is all the different ways that you can earn money in online businesses. A lot of people still don't realize. I think it's pretty obvious when you're buying something on Amazon or through a store online that somebody's making money off of that. But I don't think people always realize all the money that goes into advertising and affiliate links. And like I said, opportunities in Kindle and just all of these different diverse ways to make money in websites. And it's still really early in the ballgame. I like to say it's early in the ballgame compared to a lot of other asset classes.
Right on. So what are some of these different ways that people can make money with these websites? You said it's diverse, right? So there's obviously when you buy something off Amazon, somebody's making out on that transaction, but are there other ways that people are making money through that?
Yeah. So the big one, and we will just hit on that one first for sure, is what they call FBA or Fulfilled by Amazon. And somebody's got a product that they source. They actually store it in an Amazon warehouse. When Mike goes on to Amazon and buys it, Amazon does all the shipping and all of that. And they get the person that sourced it gets a small amount of money, or depending on what the margins are on the product. Then they're direct to consumer. So you can still sell through Amazon and ship stuff out of your own warehouse or from your own location. So that's another way to make, but that involves physical products. One that still continues to be super popular is what we call content or affiliate marketing sites. So these can be blogs, these can be review sites, top 10 travel backpacks, top 10 coffee makers. You've all seen these types of sites. And the person that runs and builds those sites and maintains them, they get paid based on a per click or per order basis, depending on where they're sending the traffic. So you can get teams of writers to build these sites up and test all this different gear out, et cetera. And those can be a pretty good moneymaker as well. A few others I mentioned, Kindle, you can do correct KDP, which is Kindle Direct Publishing now. Used to, you had to go through one of these huge publishing companies to write a book or publish a book or whatever. You don't have to do that anymore. And then SaaS, software as a service, you see these all the time where you're signing up for some piece of technology with a recurring subscription. That's just another type.
I personally use a lot of SaaS products myself. So I think a lot of people do, especially being an investor, and having a team. You know, you run everything through a CRM system and that stuff, it costs money. So someone's getting paid for that. Somebody built it, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah. I mean, Zoom, we're on Zoom call right now. That's obviously a very large company, but it's still a form of a SaaS all the way down to something.
It's something I pay for. Exactly. There we go. Cause I have Zoom Business. Yeah. It's interesting too, because I have my blog as well. And I have done Amazon affiliate marketing as well. I've had products on my website that I've talked about. And I would set up the affiliate links to it and stuff, obviously. And I would get paid based off of how many people clicked on it and made a purchase on Amazon. What I really liked about the Amazon affiliate program is if somebody goes to get to your link, like if I linked a book or something, and they go and they just look at the book and decide, I'm not going to buy that book. But while I'm on Amazon, let me go buy something else. You actually get credit for that too, which is crazy. You get credit for the next 24 hours off any purchase that they make. So if they decide $20 book's not what I want, but I do want to buy this new $500 grill or whatever, then bam, you just got a commission off of that instead. So
that's really cool that you're well-versed in that. That's not always super easy to explain, but yeah, you're spot on. Yeah.
I too am a income enthusiast. Yeah. So I do affiliate marketing as well. Obviously, even with my podcast, I have sponsors and I have affiliates, right? So I have different programs that I do affiliations with through the podcast that I've used to monetize the show. So there are so many different ways that you can do these things. And that's why I'm excited to talk about this with you today, that, you know, the many different ways to make money through websites or online businesses where you're not having to deal with any type of physical product or anything like that, or where you can even sell physical products, but you're not involved
Never have
with
to deal
products
with them.
At all. Like I do print on demand too with Printify and Printful. There's different ways to do that. So I'd love to get into any of those that you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, 100%. You just mentioned several that people may or may not know about. And even just those are just scratching the surface. So we can definitely nerd out on it. Any type of digital asset.
I only know the Wavetop stuff, man. I know it goes a lot deeper when you start getting into that ocean of ways to make money online. I could scratch the surface. I could ride that wave, but there's so much more.
And people, there's professional business operators, what we call portfolio managers, that we allow people to invest in now, that there's so much to learn in this industry. So they have different growth strategies. They have different teams in place. They have all these different ways to monetize, even within one site, different monetization methods. And that's why I like to say, I think it's still early in the game because a lot of people don't know all of those ways. So we can get into them for sure. Were you familiar with Empire Flippers or being able to invest in online businesses passively at all, since you have some knowledge in the industry?
No, not with Empire Flippers. Now, I have used the website Flippa before because I've actually built a website and I flipped it.
Got it.
I built a website around one particular product. It was around dog poop scoopers.
Yep.
And I got it built out, set up a store on Shopify, had everything all put together, and then I sold it on the website. It cost me about $120 to make it, and I sold it for $750. So I was like, oh, pretty cool
stuff, right?
Yeah, it was a brand new startup site. Now, if I would have actually used it and started making money, then I could have took the income from that and increased the value of the website. But I was like, I just built it and I just put it up on the website because
sold it.
I had no interest in messing around with that.
Nice. Yeah, no, then you're definitely very familiar. Flippa is one of the large online brokerages. Empire Flippers is as well. There are several others. And I guess that's what brings me here today. I'm with WebStreet, but Empire Flippers, you know, is a large brokerage, over 400 million in businesses sold, been around for over a decade, just well established in the space. And what was interesting about that is not everybody had the skills or the time or want to run those businesses, like you just said, build one and flip it. So we continued to hear that for years and years, that people just wanted to invest. Can we give you money and you run the website for us? Or can I just invest in the website and you run it for me? And that's the start of what was known as Empire Flippers Capital and now WebStreet. So now we have a way for people to invest in those exact websites. And the reason I bring that up now is I think as we talk about that more and the opportunities to invest in, we can go into what makes those business models so good.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're saying that WebStreet broke off from Empire?
Yep.
Okay, so Empire Flippers, it was Empire Flippers Capital broke off into WebStreet, right? And rebranded. So how does WebStreet actually work? If somebody says, okay, I want to invest in one of these portfolios, how does that work out for them?
Yeah. And I think that's probably the reason it's important to talk about both Empire Flippers and WebStreet is essentially we go out and find what we consider the best online business operators, or you'll hear them call them portfolio managers in the world. And part of the reason we have such a strong network of those people that we know in the industry is because we had been around as Empire Flippers for so long. So we go out.
You've already got these great connections.
Exactly. Exactly. From conferences all over the world. Our team is remote, always has been, fully distributed. So we have a pretty big footprint and just a good network of those professional operators. So what we do is we vet these operators, meaning we take them through a whole due diligence process. And then we have a platform where you can come invest in. We do them in rounds, and so we call them funds. You can invest in those operators. And when you get there, basically, you'll see their track record. They've built XYZ Amazon sites or XYZ content sites. They have a team in place, own warehouses or whatever, and you're now able to invest in those operators. What they do, and they invest their own money as well. We can get into the numbers, but we basically build a platform where you can fractionally invest in online businesses completely passively. And so we'll raise, depending on what their strategy is, between $1 million, $2 million, $3 million bucks for those operators. And then we oversee the fund. They go out to the marketplace. At the time, it was just going to the Empire Flippers marketplace because it was trusted. And they, from our end, high quality businesses, and they would purchase businesses according to their track record. Now we've opened up some other brokerages. We've just done some private deals now as well. But basically, you invest, they go out, they find the businesses according to the strategy, they buy them, you learn what businesses they bought, and they grow them, and you get your share of the profits every quarter. So each quarter, we do distributions of the profits of the businesses that they own. So does that make sense? You invest in one fund, they'll buy multiple businesses, they'll grow those businesses, and you take part in the upside.
Yeah, it's almost like investing as a limited partner in a real estate syndication. You're helping fund the deal or investing in a real estate fund or a REIT, right? So there's different ways that you can compare this to how you would do it in real estate. And I think it ties in well with what you said at the beginning, where you said this is basically like digital real estate, right? So if you think about it that way and you go into it with that mindset, it makes it a lot easier to connect the dots for real estate investors, right? That are looking to maybe diversify their portfolio and get into something that's not just real estate, right?
Now, that's exactly it. Yeah,
real estate, for me, I always feel like it's such a safe bet.
Right.
Because you're always going to need a place to live. But things like 2008, 2009 happened, and we are seeing it happen again right now, where I'm actually seeing a lot of multifamily people right now on social media that are losing their shirts. And it's a little concerning because multifamily is usually one of the safer bets. But it also has to do with when you do your due diligence, how important it is that you are paying attention to where the market is going in your area, because each market is different. And that's the thing about real estate. Each market is different. Online, the entire online industry is its own entity, right? But you have different niches. So you have to figure out which niche is the right one. It's a very similar way. So you have to do your due diligence, right? So I just want to see that or say that with any investment comes risk, right? Whether it's real estate, whether it's an online business, but it's important for you as the investor to do your due diligence. And I think that's pretty neat that you guys operate in a similar fashion, right? So how would somebody that is going to invest in in one of the Web Street portfolios, what's a good way for them to do their due diligence on a particular fund?
What's going on, everybody? So today I want to talk to you about the podcast editing service that we use for the Average Joe Finances podcast. That is editpods.com. And what I really like about them is it's a subscription-based service, so the prices are fantastic. And not only do they do the podcast episodes for us, but they also make us videos, audiograms, social media caption videos. They do our show notes, thumbnails. It's just fantastic products. Go check them out at editpods.com. What if I told you that you could be debt-free in 5 to 7 years? Hey, it's Mike Cavagioni with the Average Joe Finances Podcast, and I partnered with the Shred Method to help you pay off your mortgage fast. I personally used this method and was able to invest in 2 large multifamily apartment deals, pay off almost $30,000 in home renovation debt, and pay down a large chunk of my mortgage all within 3 months. I am confident in the Shred Method because it works. Did you know that you can eliminate your mortgage with the power of a simple tool called the HELOC? You can learn more about all of this at theshredmethod.com/averagejoefinances. And if you use that link, you're going to save $200 off of your initial cost. Again, this is something that I know works because I use it myself. And that's www.theshredmethod.com/averagejoefinances. Or just click that link below. Let's get back to today's episode.
Yeah. So I think, first of all, you hit the nail on your head with your explanation there. Definitely not saying to get out of real estate or any other asset classes.
I'll pat myself on the shoulder. It's what I do. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, but like you said, it's another way to diversify. So if you are new to the industry or you just want to check it out and see what the options are, depending on when this comes out, we're constantly doing new investment rounds. For example, at the moment, we have a round that has 4 different funds in it. 2 of those are Amazon FBA types operators. They both have different growth strategies. So we're very cognizant of the diversification in each round. We don't want to offer 4 of the exact same type of operators every time or the exact same type of funds. We want you to be able to diversify.
That's significant. I'm glad you pointed that out.
100%. And so right now we have 2 that are Amazon FBA teams with different growth strategies. Some of these want to introduce new products. Some want to do different advertising. Some want to do different affiliate type things. And so anyway, we make sure those are different. And then we have 2 content or affiliate operators. What's really cool about that is one of those 2 is a repeat portfolio manager for us. So he came on, he's done a fund with us before. His track record's public. You can see he did, he paid out X percentage each quarter, adding up to this much over the life of his previous fund. So we want to be as transparent as possible. There's always going to be new portfolio managers, but we've had 3 or 4 repeat ones now where you can actually see their track record. And then to wrap up your question there, on your due diligence, when you go to our fund pages, you'll see the same criteria for each of them. What's their team like? What's their growth strategy look like? How many sites have they bought and sold and run before? We do about a 30 to 40 minute interview with them, similar to a podcast, where you get to hear and see them talk about what their plans are going to be. And then you see their risk too. We have them lay out, okay, what could go wrong with your strategy? What have you seen go wrong? And so we really try to lay that out. We don't recommend throwing a dart at a dartboard and just picking one of these guys, unless you have a really good reason that you have faith in that one. But yeah, does that kind of answer your question on the due diligence? There is a certain trust factor as well that we've done our job on. We've had, not on my side of the team, but I think we've had 800 or 900 people apply to be portfolio managers with us, and we've selected like 14 or 15 so far. So it is quite selective. But yeah, that's it in a nutshell.
No, that's good. But more like if I was to say, okay, I want to invest in one of these funds, and I'm looking at it specifically. Okay, so two of these are Amazon FBA. They have two different strategies. What are some things that I can look at as an investor to see, like, maybe get myself a little bit smarter on the Amazon FBA side, right? To see, oh, you know what? Because, yeah, you guys screen them, do your due diligence. But me as the investor, hey, I'm giving my money. So I'm like, hey, I want to know, just for my own edification, that this is a good move for me. So what are some things that I can look at or resources that might help me make that decision?
Yeah, that's a good question. We, both us as Web Street and Empire Flippers, have tons of resources on our blogs that just explain the business models, explain what those risks are. And then obviously you have to do some deep dive yourself and think about, okay, how do I feel about FBA? Is there, during COVID, there was big time COVID bumps, all these aggregators, Amazon was super hot. How do I feel about content? What's changing right now with AI and different stuff? There's not a clear answer, but we have tons of resources that explain the business models, explain what the risks are. Whether you're looking to buy a site or invest in a site or build your own site, right? You should be knowing those risk factors. You don't want to put hours and weeks and months into building a site or running a site that where the model is changing.
Awesome.
So does that kind of help?
Yeah, definitely. So just like any other process that you're doing, you got to do your own research and make sure that you as the investor are comfortable with it and not getting yourself into something that you don't know too much about and then start questioning if something goes wrong. Hey, why did this happen? You would know why if you did a little bit of research on it, right? Okay.
100%. I think it's a good clarification too, because we do have people that have asked, okay, I want to invest in this fund because I want to learn to run the site. That's not the idea. You will learn each quarter when you get your distributions, you get a report from the fund portfolio manager that lists the sites, explains what he did that worked, what didn't work, et cetera. But it's not like an educational, it's not going to teach you how to run it. But I did want to mention those reports because I think some people enjoy that, especially like you said, if they were going to nerd out or if they're an income enthusiast, it's fun for them to know which sites they're invested in, what the growth strategies are, fun to talk about with their friends at dinner and whatnot. So that's a part of it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Next question for you then, Kyle. So if you've been doing this for a little while now, right? And you've had a couple funds go through, how have your funds been performing?
Yeah. So that's super important too. And we started a bit over 2 years ago doing the first investment fund. So we've done, our fifth round's open right now. We've done four funds. Our round one investors received 14.6% returns last year, which in last year's economy, 2022 economy, we felt pretty strongly. We were pretty excited about that considering what the stock market did. So on average, they're receiving between 3% and 4% cash distributions each quarter from the funds. We have some that are performing below that and we have some that are performing above. One thing worth mentioning for people, if they decide they want to get into this further, if they're on our page and they see all the funds, they read through them, we actually, to really encourage diversification, have an invest in all button. So you can just, and usually that's at a lower minimum amount. So if you want to divide your money equally across those four funds, invest in all four, then you're in that round. But yeah,
what did you say the average cash on cash was again?
Per quarter, yeah. Between 3% and 4% from each fund.
23 and 24?
Between 3% and 4% each quarter.
Oh, okay. Okay. I thought you said between 23. I was like, oh my goodness.
Between 3% and 4% each quarter. In our model, we've got all this broken down where it's baked in that some of these are going to go up in value. Some are going to go down. Some will stay the same. The other thing I think that's important to mention, none of those numbers that I'm giving you include the exit of the businesses. So between the 2 and 4 year range, after you invest in these funds and they've grown the businesses, they're going to go to the marketplace and they're going to sell them and you get your same percentage of profits on the exit, just like if somebody flipped a house or flipped a piece of art.
Same thing with the syndication when they do their exit, and usually 3 to 5 years later, sometimes a little bit longer, but usually that's where you make your money.
Exactly.
The 3% to 4% is just sustainable while you're waiting for that to hit.
That's right. And it's nice. We think it's pretty rare to be able to invest directly in a cash flowing asset. When these operators go to the marketplace and they decide they want to buy the businesses, they come to us and they tell us, okay, we're going to buy this. We would like to buy this business with the money that's been raised. Here's how we're going to grow it. Here they do full due diligence on the business. And then we have veto power to say, no, that business is declining or whatever the reason is. So you can have faith that these are going to be cash flow positive businesses basically from day one.
Okay, nice. No, that's good. It's good. Okay. Now, did you notice, so when you were part of Empire Flippers, right, that the whole point of that was actually flipping websites.
Correct.
And now this is like a more sustainable option.
Yeah.
Where you're going to hold on to something for a little while and wait for it to blossom and bloom into a beautiful flower. So would you say that there are, for some people, that maybe they should do both or one or the other, if you're going to focus on just flipping websites, or if you want to focus on the longer term? What would you say to somebody that's on the fence with making that decision? They've got some cash to spend. They might want to buy a website and flip it, or they might want to invest it into one of the funds. How would you help them figure out what's best for them?
Yeah, that's a good question. And we have investors and operators that have done both, right? That have built and sold or bought and sold and that also invest. It's not always a clear-cut answer, but I think the big difference is if you're wanting to get in, start with a small amount of money, build a small site like what you were talking about, and then maybe flip it or whatever, that's just a completely different option from investing passively through WebStreet. So if you don't have the time or the want to, or maybe you're not confident on your skills because you have just another full-time job or whatever the case is, I don't recommend necessarily throwing $50,000 or $100,000 in a website and then trying to grow it, because it does take specific skills and they're constantly changing. It's some are more passive than others. You are going to have to pay attention. It is going to take work. Well, all you do is do your due diligence, send funds, and then you get your quarterly reports and you just hopefully enjoy the upside of the businesses that way. Does that help answer that?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, a great way for somebody to make that decision, depending on what they want to do, like how active they want to be or how passive they want to be, right? So similar to investing in multifamily real estate, right? You can make that decision to be active and be a general partner or be a wholesaler or be a flipper, or you can make that decision to be passive as a limited partner and just wire in the funds and sit back and collect your dividends.
No, that's exactly fantastic. Right. Yeah, there's tons of parallels to that, as you're seeing. And we have a ton of people come from real estate syndication models and come over. And honestly, they pick up on the model quicker than most, just because there are so many similarities.
Absolutely. You've evolved a lot from your college days getting into real estate to where you are now. And throughout this whole process, I know you've learned quite a bit. And you've figured out where your place is with everything that you're doing. But I want to ask you something, Kyle. I wanted to know, what is your, why do you do what you do with WebStreet and Empire Flippers?
Yeah, that's a great question, I think, as well. I think for me, I really enjoy the freedom that comes with, look, we still work really hard to build this investment platform and get the best returns for everybody. But the freedom that comes with becoming an educated investor, constantly learning things, versus just punching the clock on a 9-to-5 and doing it on repeat. There's a certain freedom that I hope to gain over the course of my life to where I have enough passive income that I can spend time doing the things I want to do with the people that I want to spend it with. So I think that's a similarity for a lot of people that are interested in investing, but you know, it wasn't something that I really learned in school. It was something that I started to learn after being out of school for years and realizing how much time was being spent on things that I didn't necessarily want to spend time on.
Hey, fair enough. That's the best way to learn and figure out where you want to go in life and figure out where the right place is for you with what you're trying to do. It's those challenges that you go through and that help you grow. So
100%. Yeah, completely agree.
Awesome. All right, Kyle. Hey, I'd like to transition this into something that I call the final round. It's where I'm going to ask you the same four questions I ask everybody that comes on the show. And it gives us a peek into your brain when you put a little bit under pressure or ask some pretty tough questions. So if you're ready to go, we'll get this party started.
Let's do it.
And I say pretty tough because they're not that bad. All right. So Kyle, first question is, what's the biggest mistake you've ever made in business?
Something, this might just be top of mind because it's been relatively recent with tax season and whatnot. I've been relatively lucky as far as just personal investing and whatnot. Not that I haven't made mistakes, but I've been relatively lucky. I think something that I got way too eager on at the beginning when I was learning the ropes was, you kept hearing about diversification, was spreading the money too thin into too many different things to where I wasn't well educated enough on any of them. And then I'm starting to have all these different, where you should be getting tax benefits and taking full advantage of the investments that you're making. I was spread too thin and didn't know enough about each of the asset classes. I just, anything I found interesting that I could put money into, I would. And so I've since then taken a step back and gone deeper in those asset classes, making sure I fully understand things such as 1031 exchanges and how all the tax benefits are going to work, et cetera. versus just spreading it all over the place.
Gotcha. I normally don't do this during the final round, but I'm going to add a follow-up question to that. So are there like different tax benefits for investing in online businesses?
Yeah. So for us, you just get a K-1 for each fund that you're invested in, but there's a 15-year straight line depreciation. So it's pretty simple. It's
very similar to a syndication then.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Fantastic. That's great to know. Okay, Kyle. Sorry about that. We'll get back on track here. Next question. And you'll see that these kind of tie into each other. But what is something that you've learned that you wish you knew when you first got started?
I think that there's probably, especially now as we're doing this podcast and post-COVID and everything, I think that there's almost always somebody out there who's been through what you are either going through or interested in or about to go through as far as investing is. So I think at the beginning and from an investment standpoint, I often felt isolated, like just trying to figure things out on my own versus reaching out, even if it's paying for a mentor or paying for a resource, to make sure that you're doing the best job you can with your money. The other thing I would say is just, I probably waited too long, even though it was 5-6 years out of school. I was just nervous to save up money and build an emergency fund and all that. But that compounding interest, as everybody knows, is super important. And I just would encourage people not to wait, even just from an education standpoint.
Yeah. Okay. Definitely appreciate that. Yeah. It's waiting will be the thing that probably most people look back and say, man, I wish I did this sooner.
Yep. Exactly.
So, awesome. Okay. Kyle, next question is, do you have any tips or tricks that you would recommend to someone that is just getting started today?
Yeah, this is a good one. It would go back to the education thing, but I would basically start trying to learn about different asset classes and figure out which ones you enjoy. We talk about real estate and we've talked about online businesses and there's many other classes out there. But if I think you could figure out pretty early on in the education phase, whether it's an asset class that you can have fun and nerd out on, or whether it's something you're just trying to force a square peg into a round hole. I think there's going to be an asset class or two or more that everybody enjoys out there. So I would say if you don't like the first couple that you're learning about, to not give up and continue to learn about other ones. We talked about nerding out on them, and I could talk about the online businesses and real estate all day, but that's not the case with all of them. There are several other asset classes that may do well, but that just don't. If you don't have a true interest in it, I don't think you're going to do as well with it as you could.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. That is a fantastic point, actually. And I wrote that down as you were going. If you're investing in something you enjoy, you're going to be more apt to doing your proper research and vetting it because you enjoy that particular topic or niche. So yeah, that's huge. Definitely huge. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Okay. Kyle, the final question of the final round. And this is completely unrelated to the rest of them, and it's an opinion-based question. But do you have a favorite business, investing, or real estate-related book or podcast or both?
Yeah, I'll give you both. I thought about this one a little bit. I've heard you ask this before. I do enjoy your show. I think everybody knows all the big ones. The first Rich Dad, Poor Dad, on all of the classics. I still recommend those. But I wanted to get a little creative. And there's a business and just life book in general. It's called Change Your Questions, Change Your Life. And it's a pretty short read, and I revisit it pretty much every year or so. And it's all about the power of asking the right questions in the right way. And it might sound a little bit pie in the sky, but for anybody that gets into it, I think you'll see it can be a real life changer with negotiations, with just relationships and business in general. So that would be the book. On invest or on podcast, there's another one, a real estate investing podcast, not too different from your own. I might need to connect you with this guy as well. It's called Ice Cream with Investors. And he does a lot of similar interviews with multifamily, storage, all types of different real estate asset classes. So that's one I would recommend checking out.
Nice.
Yep. And then also Empire Flippers has a great podcast as well, the Opportunity Podcast, for people that are looking to learn online businesses and the models like we talked about at the beginning. So yeah, check out Empire Flippers.
Awesome. Actually, speaking of that, that is it for the final round. However, I do have one more question for you, Kyle. And again, this is, besides you introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about yourself, this is the most important question, because people that are listening to this interview are going to say, man, I really got a good piece of information about investing in online businesses or funds. I feel like I learned a little bit from this podcast, but I want to learn a little bit more. and maybe get involved in it. So where can people find more information about you with your website, or do you have any social media accounts you can share with us? Anything where our listeners can find you guys?
Yeah, so pretty standard stuff, but I will spell it out because, as you said at the beginning, the name's a little bit long. But WebStreet, that's one word, webstreet.co, not .com, .co. You'll find us there. My personal email is kyle@webstreet.co. So you can hit me up on there, as well as LinkedIn. You'll see, hopefully, my name in the title of the episode or so, because it is long to spell. But Kyle Kudryavsky on LinkedIn, I'm on there most days. We have a real strong WebStreet community on there and investing community. So any of those are great.
Awesome. Kyle, thank you so much. I will make sure we have links, all those links in the show notes, both for WebStreet, your LinkedIn, everything else, and make sure that people could find you guys. Also a link to the Empire Flippers website podcast as well, so people can go and listen to that. So, you know, this was fantastic, Kyle. Thank you so much for joining me today. This was very informative. I feel like I learned a lot about this different way or different diverse way of investing. And I think it's really neat. So thank you again so much.
Awesome. I appreciate you having me. It was a lot of fun. Cheers.
Absolutely. And hey, to my listeners, I want to thank all of you so much for joining me and our special guest, Kyle Kudryavsky, on the Average Joe Finances podcast. Go leave us a 5-star review and tell us what you liked about today's episode with Kyle. Aloha from Hawaii, and have a great rest of your day. Thank you for making it to the end of this episode. Greatly appreciate you being here with me today on the Average Joe Finances podcast. If you haven't done so yet, make this the episode that you go leave us a 5-star rating or subscribe to our YouTube channel. The Average Joe Finances podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only. Have an outstanding day.
Thanks for listening to the Average Joe Finances podcast, your source for beating debt, saving money, and investing. Learn more at averagejoefinances.com.